This is a Pinball News production.
Okay, we're going to have some, well, we got a really cool auction deal coming up too. And also we got some really cool prizes. And when I start the drawings, would you please check underneath your chairs right now to find out what number you have, so every time I draw a number, you're not trying to figure out what your number is in? Got one. Yeah, I'm an asshole. Some of these things I do for you, some I do for me. You know, if you break the stage and I fall down, I'm going to be upset. Hey, we got an opener. Oh, well, that's why they broke all the tables and got rid of them. Jesus. This is my helper, Robert. Everybody say hi, Robert. Hi, Robert.
Hi, helper Robert. Thank you.
Helper Robert.
I need a name tag.
You got one.
It is a helper.
Well, if we got a, I don't know, if anybody got a Sharpie?
Sharpie.
We could draw it on your forehead. Anyway, what I was planning on doing, we do have some of these really great souvenir mugs. So if somebody does have a really great question, you get a mug. But first, I wonder if we want to do the auction thing. Where's our auction guy? Where'd he go? Oh, there he is. Want to do the... But you get your ass up here. Jesus Christ. Haven't got enough grief in this fucking planet? One of the Minnesota guys, Vince Beardsley, he's been at pinball for, geez, I don't know, 2 decades or something. Some months back, his daughter Olivia came up with an exotic cancer. And, I mean, this is a traumatic experience to happen in any family. You know, I can't imagine the emotions. I can't imagine having a sick child. Just stay here. Get back up here. Back. And Brian Kelly started it pretty much, and there's other deals going on too, but a lot of people have donated time, effort, money, and things to raise funds for the family and help them through this. Now Olivia is, I believe, has had the tumor removed and is progressing well. It was not the severity that they were concerned of until all the tests came in and stuff, but they still got a long road to go. Anyway, this kind of gentleman's going to tell you all about the touchscreen game he donated. Going to auction it off. And all the money collected goes to the Olivia Beardsley Fund. Take it away, Troy.
Hi, guys. All right. I'm a friend of Brian. I've known him for 10 years or so. And anything that he stands behind, I think is probably a good cause. And I happened to pick up 4 pallets of these little touchscreen games. So I was like, let's just auction one off. If it brings $20, if it brings $500, who cares? All the money's going to Team Olivia. And I've got 4 kids, so I know what it's like being a dad, so I feel bad for this gentleman having to go through it. And it's a full-working JVL Eclipse Ion 10, so it's an okay game. It's worth about $400 or $500 on eBay. So I don't care if it brings $10. You know, whatever anybody wants to give for it, it's going to her.
Nice. Well,
you know, it doesn't matter to me, but Lloyd will auction off and... No, I forgot to put it because I had too many pinball parts last night and I forgot what I was doing. So I was going to put it in Rob Anthony's room and let people write bids on it throughout the day. And, well, I started drinking, so never mind. So that's what Expo's about, right? Good time. So
supporting Brian and pinball parts, okay.
So anything from it goes to Team Olivia, 100% of it. So enjoy, guys.
So let's get the auction rolling. And thank you, Troy, thank you for the donation and caring so much. I never was blessed with kids, but I think it's got to be the worst thing on the planet to deal with, having a sick child. So anyway, Troy, Randy started with $10.
20. Yeah,
20.
25.
25.
30.
30.
35.
Come on, guys. Pardon?
50.
50. There we got a high roller. Come on, guys. These things are going for at least a few hundred bucks or more on eBay. 60.
Can you ship it? See, they take so much, huh? God damn it.
The shipping's like
100. $80.
$80. Hey, well, you know, check with Mike Pasek. You know, they have the all the Expo advertising. He has a shipper available.
Okay.
Hey, he's going to put it on his cart and deliver it anywhere in the continental United States. We can just like ship it over 3 feet. So we're at $100. Oh, I mean $80. $80. Well, it could be $8,080. Man, that's generous. For that, I will haul it to UPS myself and ship it. Come on, guys. This is helping I might allow you. So is this where we're at? $80. Going once. $90. There's a fine gentleman helping the Olivia Beardsley Foundation. Any more? Well, come on, big mouth. $95. Now we're still stuck at $90. Mr. Shellberg. Hi. How much do you bid, Jim? $200. Don't be bashful. Come on in. Come on in. Come on, up front. We're auctioning off the touchscreen game. Do you guys want in on it? I didn't ask what the hell you got. You got a dick tool, but you might need another one. Jesus Christ. Hi, Jim. This is my helper, Robert. What? Oh, Jim, it's always a pleasure to see you at Expo. Anybody that's into the Penn Game Journal, that's your man, Jim Shellberg. Thank you, Jim. Yeah, he doesn't even go out the front door. He sneaks out the back. So anyway, we're still at $90, right? Any more bids? This is going to help a little girl and her family. Yes, sir. $100. Yeah, we're getting there. Now, for the next bid, we'll actually throw in a screen, too, not just a stand. Doing this thing again. Christ. And now we're at $100 for the Olivia Foundation. Any more bids? Going once. $110. Now we're getting there. The whole LTG show is going to be at auction. I can't wait to see what they do next year. You, sir, you aren't going to let him steal this thing for $110, are you? $120. There, now there's the spirit. Now we're getting in to help the Olivia Fund. Jeez, that I don't know. I think they've got a couple things going, but yeah, like he said, I don't think the GoFundMe is a tax deductible. So that's why you got to spend even more money so we can cover the taxes too. So where are we at here? $120, right? You, sir, you're not going to let him steal this fine piece of machinery for a measly $120? $125. Sir, you're not going to let that... $130. You're not going to let this guy steal this fine piece of... But, man, look at this thing. It works. The last one he auctioned off didn't even work. And it's got, like, a screen, and you can touch it, and it's got, like, erotic games in there and all kinds of fun. Hey, does it have monkey splat in there? The touchscreen game. And the funds are being raised for the Olivia Beardsley Foundation. So how much is your bid, sir? You're not bidding? Why were you asking? Well, at the LTG show, we never know what the hell's going on. Jeez, let's get real. Where are we here? 145? 140. You're not going to let him steal that for a measly $5, $10, $20, $50, $60 something, are you, sir? $145. You're not going to let him steal this fine piece of... What? I think we might have hit the end of the road here, folks. Hey, I'll tell you what. I will... I don't know if... That's why I wanted one of the Beardsley team here so we could answer questions like this. Hey, I've got these rare exotic prizes, too, that nobody really knows about other than a couple of people. I will throw one of these exotic rare prizes in on a high bid, too.
It's pretty exotic, actually.
$150. You're not going to leave this gentleman walk with a touchscreen game and an exotic prize. How about if I throw in a rare LTG mug? Okay, what are we at, 150? No, don't put... 150, going once, going twice. Ooh, he's kind of a big guy. I don't think he's missed too many meals. Sir, if we threw in a bag of cookies, how about it? Well, I appreciate your help to this point, sir. Thank you. And the lucky winner is Jeff. Thank you, Jeff. You can see Troy for picking the screen up, and hopefully it doesn't get kicked off the stage up here, and pay him, and he'll take care of that. Would you mind coming up here for exotic prize? Yep, there you go. Thank you. I got two more fingers. So anyway, I was thinking, since we didn't have raffle tickets and we never really do a raffle or anything anyway, I do have the LTG mug. So, you know, being I spent a lifetime in the industry, if you got any past history questions, current history questions, future history questions, people that have a great question get a mug. So who's got a question? Yes, sir.
At your location last year on my checkup pair, and then you were going to have the carpeting put in. I have a great question. Did the carpeting get put in? How are things materials
out? We ended up not doing carpeting. Is Phil Leach here? Phil Leach is here at Expo Somewheres. You know, because the money that was donated, Chris Lemio did a fundraiser for my business, and we raised like $14,000. But being people gave money, we used the money wisely. And Phil Leach had donated, what was it? Free labor and half the material, and then plus we got some more on that. But we ended up, it's a rubber pad that was put down, two seal coats, anti-puncture coat, and then a top coat. They use it, it's Elasti-Plus or something. They use it for outdoor running tracks and basketball court stuff. That's what's in there now, so it's almost like an anti-fatigue mat. Not real soft, but it's really, but we got about 20 grand worth of floor for $6,000. You know, we painted the ceiling, painted the back wall, got the Bill Paxton pinball machine. What else did we all do? We still got a couple things left to do. There's still about a grand left, but Chris has still got the cue ball deal for people who wanted cue balls, didn't pan out, and he was working on T-shirts. But Chris kind of moves a little slow. But I've been on him about that. Geez, you know, it's been a year. We got to get this shit out. But yeah, place looks a hell of a lot better. You know, everything had to go out. Everything had to come back in. Pool tables recover, new balls, new sticks. Really, you know, looks different. It's been a major improvement, too, and I want to thank everybody that helped. Give him a mug. I will have my helper deliver your mug. Or you can come up and get it. Uh-oh. Wait. Sit down a second. You, sir, what's your question? Anything in particular where we're headed? Oh. Well, I was thinking if we're talking the exciting world of pinball, we're heading east. You must have a different planet than the one I live on. Next thing he's got to tell me, the sun rises in the south, only in his neighborhood. No, it's been exciting since the last Expo, exciting year for pinball. We got Game of Thrones on the floor, and I believe they're going to have an LE here at their big deal tonight. We've got the Big Lebowski floating around out there. We got the most souped-up Hobbit you've ever seen in your life. That is as close to a production game as possible, and that's the one that's going to be going back to New Jersey right after the show. They've been stockpiling parts left and right to, you know, they're getting ready for production. Medieval Madness remake is on the floor. They do have the next game. They do have a prototype built. They are gearing up for that. They're not saying anything till because the Medieval Madness hit a bunch of delays, and then just as they got up to speed, Stern moved. So it's like start over. So, see, he gets. Would you mind coming up here, sir? Okay, well, Robert can deliver. He gets $5 for delivering these, though. Randy, what's your question?
Yeah, okay, back in the day, Valley, William, all those guys used to put machines out to location, just to test them. What's the, when are you going to be able to talk to Jersey Jack and, like, get into Hobbit's pre-production for testing purposes?
I just hope I've got one on the floor when they go start going out the door and I got it for tech support. No, I had 5 weeks of tech support before I did the Wizard of Oz, or before I had the Wizard of Oz. I'm sure they'll try to get me one early, but I mean, there's just no idea right now. See, and one of the delays, you know, my own personal opinion, I think what happened is like back in May, June, when they brought the investors in, they are gearing up. If you listen to Jack last night, they want to build two games a year, and you've got to make some of these changes right now to go at a good pace. There's been some people have gone bye-bye from the company. There's been some key people hired. They're still hiring a few other people. I know they pulled in another software guy today. And they're, you know, by the next expo, especially the one after, you know, there's some amazing stuff going to be coming out in New Jersey. Want another mug? He's got one up there right now with the pandas going on. You, sir. So, I'll get to you. Sorry. I didn't see which hand went up first. Yes.
You've been in the tech support game for a long time. Everybody always asks questions, and you're always the one on there. What game has given the most problems, if you had to take a guess? Like, what games have the most issues that you're like, oh, my God, this game always has this issue?
Well, the only really huge thing, you know, when I first started, the LED board problem with Wizard of Oz, which was... You know, LEDs last, 20,000-30,000 hours is like 10 years. The one part of that game shouldn't have been a problem, turned into a big problem. And the first few games they made, no problem. The first few went out, no problem. Then they started having some issues. And as more games started going out, they had problems. And they figured out one of the early things was that each board had a voltage regulator. If it dropped below 5 points or 5 volts and get hit with a surge, it'd take it right out. And they're wired in series, a straight line. So if one goes out, everything after it's out. And, well, they cured that. Then they found another problem. And they went through about half a year or better. When they would come to one problem, you know, we'd find a new one. And then for some reason, half the games out there will never lose a board. You know, there were a few problem children that got full board replaced. You know, all the boards replaced. But I believe it was Lorenzo and company and then Eric Muner. They did. The boards are rock solid now. You still might not lose a board, but now it's about... once every 2-3 weeks type call. And there's no way of knowing if it's an early game or not until it hits the serial number and stuff in New Jersey. But, you know, it's almost a non-existent problem. But the first half a year, that was just bizarre. But that would be the one thing. Want to give the man a mug? Sir?
I heard Jack talk last night about indemnity as one mechanism.
Yeah, that's you know, there's no one answer. You know, the coin op industry, you know, and I, you know, put pinball arcade games there. The coin op industry, it took 20 years to run it into the ground, and we did a damn good job. And I'm not claiming to be innocent. I think everybody that was involved, I don't care if it's a manufacturer, distributor, operator, or anything, everybody did it. And, you know, I think we were, you know, long ago at the point in all the king's horses, all the king's men, you know, you can't undo everything with one thing. And, you know, but, you know, of all things, you know, people, when Williams closed, the hobby was growing. People decided to collect a product made for commercial use. And when Williams closed, I was stocking up rubber rings and light bulbs. And because of the hobby, the one thing that the ops always crapped on, never sold to, never cared about, everything, the hobby, everything going on right now, reproduction parts, artwork, play fields, multiple manufacturers, the small manufacturers, everything going on right now was because the hobby grew. And one of the big things with that was Twilight Zone. You know, Twilight Zone was a commercial flop. They overbuilt them. And when Williams closed, you didn't have to dig too hard to find a really good-looking Twilight Zone for $800. And people would haul it home, and, you know, that one thing really took off, and the hobbies turned it around. But as far as getting pinball back on location and stuff, that's, you know, Pindemption is a step. We don't know if it's going to be until they get them out and, you know, try to get them out en masse. We don't know how successful it's going to be. You know, almost every DMD game ever made's had ticket software in it. you know, you can put a ticket spitter on it and everything else. It's how, you know, you're awarding prizes, and like Jack's idea of having like the cloud where you could just go to and claim your thing. The one thing I see with that is, you know, a kid dumps, you know, goes over to you as a parent and grabs $20 and runs it into the machine and gets a bunch of tickets. He wants to go get his little 5-cent bear right now. He doesn't want to wait for something to come in the mail. So this is, but it is a step, you know, it, like I say, it took so many years to, you know, to destroy it, you know, to rebuild it's going to take more than one machine, one game, one idea, but we're in way better shape now than we were 15 years ago. I'm sorry. Yep. Well, I don't want to tell people not to do something. I want to tell them to research it. Do their homework. Yeah. Yeah, you know, and it's good in theory, but poor in practice, you know, that, you know, you've got, geez, I got an extra pinball machine. I'm going to haul it down to the bar. Well, if that bar's already got Golden Tee Live, Buck Hunter, dart games, pool tables, jukebox, that location's going to be under contract. They ain't going to let you stick one machine in and be, because you're literally stealing from the operator's mouth. And there are still, it's not as bad as it was like in the 40s and 50s when you had the gambling pins and stuff. But there are still some people in this industry you don't want to fuck with. And then now, ever since the video fad died, you know, we had 50,000 extra arcades open up in the country, and then we have 50,000 went broke and closed because the people never been in the industry. Almost every town does not want an arcade. And every town has got planning commissions now. So when people ask, you know, I'd like to put a pin or two out, do your homework. First thing you do is you don't ask on pin side, don't ask on Rec Games Pinball, because you're going to get 1,000 different answers, and everybody's going to be goading you on, and they don't care what the cost is to you. You know, first things, try it yourself down to City Hall, in that where whatever city you plan to do it in, find out what's required. Might be a license on a machine, might be a license on a location, might be a license on you. There's zoning ordinances. Some of them you got to be X amount of feet away from a church, X amount of feet away from a school. Some of them don't even want arcades or games. So that's step one. You know, it's good in theory. I'd like to see more people do it. I'd like to see get more out. And then also you got to decide. You know, if you do something as a hobby and then start doing it as a job, you know, you're going to burn yourself out. And I pretty much tell people, you know, you want to be an op or not. And then one of the big things too is you do need insurance. You don't depend on a location. You don't depend on something never happened. Because if it's a 1 in a million shot, if your shot comes up, you know, you're going to go home and tell the wife, well, you know, we just lost the house and the car and all our money, and, you know, we're going to get sued into the ground. But that game took in $3 while I was down there. So I'm not telling you to not do something, but really research it and do your homework. And like I say, you know, you're sitting down with a family at 7 o'clock Friday night. You're ready to have dinner. And the phone rings. Hey, get that fucking pin fixed or I'm going to throw it out in the alley. And then, like, you know, this is no 9-to-5 job. Burglars and fires are 24/7. So, you know, really research this, really do your homework, because you are undertaking a job. No matter how little you might have to put into it, you know, really think it. And the thing is, you know, if you do something and put it out there and you're not successful, you've done more harm than good. This, which is another thing I like to see people do it, but do their homework so they got a chance at success and they don't hurt themselves in the process and also hurt the industry we're trying to rebuild. Want to give them a mug? Here comes your valuable prize, sir. Well, Randy's had, you know, usually Randy doesn't say anything until the end of the show and then you can't shut him up.
I was just going to say one thing you might consider doing is LLCing. He's not listening. Boop, boop, boop. One thing you might consider doing is forming an LLC for that pinball company. And then
that's why I say really do your homework.
Outside of that, you kind of almost touched on it. How many games have you ever had catch fire or smoke horribly bad?
Well, personally, I've only ever had two actual flames. One was an Atari Firefox monitor, or picture went off. So turn it off. You know, on the little plate on the back, take that off, and then you turn it on. If the monitor tube, if the neck glows, you know, the chassis is probably good. Then you got a board problem, power supply problem. If the tube ain't glowing, you got a bad tube. So I take the thing off, stick my nose in there, and there's flame in there. And I had flame in one other game, and for whatever reason, I mean, it was many years ago, and it just escapes me which one it was. You know, but that was nothing. The absolute worst stink. my web host brought in a Terminator 2 one time. It was like 30 blowout. And this thing had come from Alaska, and we hauled it in. It was on a Friday night. I went in Saturday morning, opened the door, and I almost puked. It was so bad. The smell, and I don't know if, you know, if a deer or something crawled in this thing or died or what the hell happened, but I put it out back, and I told him, man, you got to come get this thing. Well, is it inside? You kidding me? You know, it's 30 blowout, and I got the doors open, and, you know, the front door and the back door, and I got the fans running. I'm trying to get this stink out of here so I can have a business today. That would be the worst smell. Yes, sir.
You mentioned earlier about picking up a Twilight Zone for $800, and now they're going for $5,000-$6,000 for a good example. What is your favorite sleeper success pin that nobody liked, and all of a sudden everybody wanted it? Or do you have one that's a favorite that was for you that you didn't like initially, and then all of a sudden you got something that drew you into it?
Well, I don't so much as like the game. There was one game I liked. I liked Capcom Kingpin. I owned part of one that got sold out from under me, which is a whole other story. And I'm not claiming to be innocent on that either. But I always liked playing that game. But, you know, other games and stuff, you know, my game is the Cash Box. Cash Box, don't lie. Cash Box makes it happen.
But is there one that you initially didn't like that turned it around and you said, now I really like this one?
I was a test operator for Lieberman Music Company, which is also, you know, I was doing it for Williams for 19 years. And, you know, they had some things that they had high hopes for that just didn't quite turn out, like the Laserdisc games. Gee, only $1,800 a year to keep this thing going, and after the first one, nobody plays them. But as far as, and also during the day, too, you know, at least for my business, my experience, if I bought a new pinball machine, my gross didn't go up. I buy a new video game, my gross goes up, so I did not buy every pinball machine. But I can't really say outside, you know, there's been a couple of games like Gauntlet paid for itself in like 4 days. I mean, it's just, there's sometimes, most of the things I got for a reason, and most of them lived up to it. Want to give them a mug? We got any left? Oh,
One more sheet.
Ooh. Just a second, sir. I just saw another hand. Oh, yes, sir.
What's your biggest earning game over time?
The two of the all-time was Asteroids and Afterburner. Asteroids, because I had it there like 11, 12 years something, it would die off during the summer, but in fall, winter, when the pool shooters would come back, you know, people want to throw a few quarters in something and have some fun, but when they're looking at, you know, three joysticks and 12 buttons and what the fuck do I do, anybody can play Asteroids. And then Afterburner, I had a sit-down, one of the sit-down versions, and the bad thing with that game, it should have had a build tower capabilities on it, because you could have, you know, the early build validator or coin shoot. You couldn't have both. And then also that game had a problem. The sit-down one was $1 a play, and you had 8 seconds to put in four more quarters. But you had to almost have somebody outside the game, because when you put a quarter in, it didn't reset the 8 seconds. You just had 8 seconds. And had that game, if you could have shoved 20s in that thing and people found out you got 23 stages and come back and land on the aircraft carrier, that would have done four times what it did. Did you give him a mug?
No, I'm good.
Oh, he's got one. Yes, sir.
As far as support, have you ever had a game where you just could not figure it out, fix it, and you just said, throw it away? I'm done with this, you know, sell it.
Blasphemy. Do you mean myself?
Yes. Yourself.
Well,
yeah. You figured everything, you know.
Well, pretty much, you know, I don't recall anyone that ever defeated me that I had my hands on, but there was at a time when, you know, regularly trading, like in 81, I think I got 42 new games that year. You know, if I had one that was not really cutting the money and was typically needing more work than others, I'd be the next one to go. And then the amazing thing was, too, usually a game like this, the best day it ever had would be its last day. Like, it's, I'll behave. Don't send me down to some bar where they're going to beat me up and abuse me. You take care of me. You don't let people beat on me. You clean me. You know, it's almost, I'm like, get out of here. Go away. You're done. But then on tech support, yeah, everyone. But then, you know, the tech support can be a real wild extravaganza from zero skill to great skills. And, you know, you do run into some that we got to kick them up to engineers or something. And then, too, most people aren't honest, or they don't understand, or they don't listen. Like classic, on Rec Games Pinball or Pinside, when, well, I checked the fuses. Well, does this mean, like, you actually pulled them out and checked them with a meter? Well, they look good. And so many times like this, like I had one guy, Ken Holland, one of the engineers, and me spent 2 months with a guy. In his crystal ball, they got the little connector on the back, and if they're a little bit too close to habit trail, the habit trail can screw with it, or a ball can hit it, and it'll, can lock up the game, reset it, or black it out. First thing I was in that era, before they moved them a little bit, I'd ask people, is the connector on tight on the crystal ball? 2 months we spent back and forth sending motherboards, I.O. boards, new hard, solid-state hard drives. And it's just ridiculous, the amount of equipment going to this guy. And about the two-month mark, he calls me, hey, I was looking at that connector on the back of the crystal ball, and the pins are broke. Sure glad I asked you that the first fucking thing. So, I mean, some of them, you might think you got a problem game out there, too. But then, the person, we just weren't reaching him, not explaining what to do, or... he just didn't do a good job, and then 2 months later, you would just want to shoot the bastard. Give him a mug. Oh. Wait. Let's get some new people. You got 5 mugs already. Hey, get the...
I was going to say, you kind of led into my question. What are some of the dumbest calls you've had for tech?
Today? No, I just, I was asking Chuck Emery back a couple of years ago, I was at the ball crawl, and I was asking him, what do you plan on doing for tech support? And I don't know at that time if they put a lot of thought into it. Well, somebody calls up, we'll fix a switch, check a wire, adjust it, solder a wire, on a coil, I don't think they really put into it. And I asked him, what do you do when you spend an hour telling somebody you can't have 10 balls in a 5-ball game? What do you do when they cut a circuit board in half with wire cutters? He's like, people do that? Well, yeah, we've had worse than that. Well, why do they do that? And I said, well, you learn real early not to ask. My thing is, I'm an operator. Get them working, make them pretty later. I do the same thing with tech support. I don't care how we got to this point. I want the guy playing his game and enjoying it, and sort out the whatever afterwards. Like a friend of mine asked me one time, he had emailed somebody some help, and I don't know if he expected praise or money, but he never heard nothing back. And he asked me, doesn't it bother you when you don't hear back from the people? I don't need my world doubled. When they disappear, they're going, they're playing a game, we're done. I don't need the telephone calls doubled, I don't need the email doubled. Let's enjoy life. Thank you. Come along. I'm sorry? Uh-oh. Well, I didn't... No, I appreciate them, but if I don't get one either, it doesn't, And I have had some really nice, heartfelt, people that have contacted me and stuff. Like a guy in France, he mailed me like a $200 bottle of wine. Mailed! I didn't know you could mail liquids. And then I didn't know if he knew where I was. I thought he was going to send it out to New Jersey. I thought, great, I'll never see this. And it pops up in my business. But, I mean, there are some really grateful people. But like I say, too, that, when they just disappear, I'm cool with that, too. Because my deal is so they can play the game, so they can enjoy the game, make my little corner of pinball better. I do enjoy the thanks and appreciation, but my main thing is get the game going. Yes, sir? Randy. Randy.
What was your first video game? What was the worst video game you had? And what was the worst pinball game you had? And on those two worst, of the highest expectations that you had initially?
I think the worst video games are Laserdisc games. Twice the price. And, the first true video game was a horse racing gambling game. Most people didn't have that.
Is that pre-Pong?
No, Laserdisc.
Okay.
And, Dragon's Lair was the first one, and I had Cliffhanger for a couple days, and I sent it back because I knew right away, you're not really controlling it. You're just making yes-no decisions, and people ain't going to fall for this twice. Of the Laserdisc games, Mach 3 was probably my most successful of the games, but then, like I said, the Laserdecks weren't made for commercial use. I kept adding fans to these things. I think I had 8 or 9 fans in Dragon's Lair when I traded it in. I had a Milwaukee hole hog. I put a 3.5-inch hole in the side of the cabinet to add another fan. I mean, he just could not move enough air across them to cool them. And then it was like $1,800 a year to keep them running. Then they shortened it. Well, usually when I get a deck rebuilt, I get about a year out of it, and you'd have a 3-month warranty. Well, I just rebuilt the one in Mach 3. 33 days later, goes down, take it in. Oh, we only warranty him for 30 days now. Oh, man, I want to put $1,200 in that bastard for 30 days. And then if anybody's ever seen a sit-down Mach 3, oh, this thing's built like a brick shit house. Double sheath, 3/4-inch industrial grade plywood, nuts, bolts, screws. I was in there for half an hour with a sledgehammer, and all I could do was knock a piece of trim off in front where the monitor sat. I was contemplating hauling it out on the road and let somebody run into it with a car. I finally took a regular circle saw to it, and I burned up like 3-4 blades cutting into pieces I could throw in a dumpster. Man, I don't know what they were thinking with that thing.
And the first video game you had?
Space something. Space. Well, I'm thinking of the games I own. I mean, when my mother bought the SS Billiards with my help in 72, she could not buy games. It's when I bought her interest out in 79, I was able to get games. But yeah, that was the spring of 73 when she owned it. But the first video game I made, and I can't remember the name of it, is Space Something. It was a black and white, kind of like
Space War.
No. That was later. Space Something. But it was one of the early games. And if anything at all went wrong on the monitor chassis, on the board that ran it, anything, it's like it come apart like dominoes, and the last thing you'd see a flash on the screen, and the whole game's dead. But that was the first video game that I purchased. In that bunch came in was a Super Sprint. You know, when I first got my first games, what was in there? Well, I'd gotten a pinball pool. I'd gotten, I think, the Incredible Hulk came in when I first bought like 5-6 games. I'm trying to think of what else. Stellar, what was the Williams wide body? It wasn't Stellar Wars. One of the early Williams wide bodies. But fun times. Maybe it was Stellar Wars. And what was the rest of your question?
I don't
know. Well, that's a relief. I'm sorry? Yeah, you got to give a mug back when you screw up like that. I mean, I was ready to answer. And then, of course, the worst game of all time, my least favorite, is still the Judge Dredd pinball machine. I like the idea of having Super Game or regular game. And, like Whodunit, you could have 2 minutes of pinball or regular pinball. I liked having more in one spot, but I'm bringing Judge Dredd off of my truck. I had a four-wheel drive GMC pickup truck with a lift gate, and I'm bringing Judge Dredd off. Now, bear in mind, let's see, the truck's insured, the business is insured, the game's insured, everything standing out there is insured but me. I dropped this goddamn thing off the fucking truck. I catch it with my left arm, about tore my arm off my body. I'm the only thing out there not insured. I couldn't even lift my arm for a year, and if you look at me now, this like left side's like about an inch lower than the right side. And the first chance I had to trade it in, that bastard was out of town. And I remember it was probably one of the goose parties, like 2003, 2004. Somebody brought in a Judge Dredd as a guest pin, and I wanted to just kill him. Oh, man. Hard to say. I never really tracked serial numbers or anything. I mean, there's a couple of games I'd recognize, like I had hauled in a Jackbot, uncrated it, set it up. Trough boards don't work. This thing's dirty. We got white rubber rings. We got black rubber rings. We got prototype plastics. Williams, in their infinite wisdom, this game had been on test or something somewhere, or a factory game, got created and sold as new. Miss. Boy, that's it. Because I don't have, I don't actively get every Stern. In my most recent one, I did get The Walking Dead. Now, I was up at Jason Roofer's place. I played the Metallica pin. I really like it. It's a fun pin. To me, it's not a $5,000 pin, though. Like Family Guy at $3,400, yeah, it's a no-brainer. You get the $5,000, it ain't happening. When I saw Walking Dead, I thought, man, that looks like a better version of Metallica. And that game has done great for me. It's still doing great. I've got 4 games now jockeying for first place. My original Medieval Madness has been top dog forever in pinball. Wizard of Oz is the first one that's dethroned it a little bit. And now, of course, I got the Medieval Madness remake because I do tech support for them. And a Walking Dead. Now, my Walking Dead, I've always called it games get a personality. Like if you have 5 Berserks in a row, all the money's going to be in 1 or 2. Might not be the prettiest, might not work the best, but I call it personality. And I've had, like, my Medieval Madness, when I had stripped it and had the playfield touched up and clear-coated, I used a different Medieval Madness, and the take just zeroed on it. And innocently, somebody had said, well, gee, Lloyd, your game plays so much better than that one. And I just, man, God, this thing's going to come back clear-coated. It's going to play different. I would have run it down to bare wood, you know, as long as it's taking in money. But when I put it all back together, money went back up and been happy with it. And my Walking Dead is a game like this. It might just be a personality, but I know it came into town with three other games that went into private collections, and they have since all sold them. They were still coming in and playing mine, even though they had it. Mine played better. And one guy that was involved in this getting the game for me, but I left him. He took pictures all over and compared it to, and he couldn't pick any one difference or anything. But, you know, for some reason, I got a good Walking Dead. It's like a couple of years ago at the ball crawl, I played in America's Most Haunted. I was like, God, I wish I had $6,000. This thing is great. And then Chuck Emery, I talked to him because they were going to have one at the State Fair that year. And when it was for sale, if it didn't sell, they'd bring it to my place for a few weeks and try to sell it. Well, it did sell at the fair before it never came out. But I went to the fair and I played it. It wasn't any fun. It was just almost like a different game. So this is part of the problem. I mean, and take nothing away from Stern. I mean, the worst decade ever in coin-op, they kept it going. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. The worst time ever. I mean, there was years that Gary probably wasn't even drawing a salary or anything. The worst time ever in pinball, they made Simpsons Pinball Party, Lord of the Rings, and Spider-Man. And everything going on today. Hi, Mark. Everybody say hi, Mark. Hi, Mark. Yeah, everything going on today, we owe to Stern. You know, pissing Jack off gave us another company. You know, Jack making really doing it has given rise to other companies. The increase in parts, everything going on, in one way, shape, or form, we can thank Stern for. And of course, then they had some investors come in some years ago, the guys saved Harley Davidson or whatever else, and they are rolling. I mean, they got the new building, which I couldn't see, but I'm looking forward to the Martin's pinballnews.com when he gets the report up so I can see it. But I was out in the parking lot. I'll give her. Well, no, it's they're building their rules. If you work for a competitor, if you contract for a competitor, they don't. And truthfully, you know, if that's the way they feel too, I wouldn't want to be there. If something gets leaked, it wasn't me. It's like I know the Medieval Madness, the Planetary Pinball Supply Chicago Gaming guys are looking at 10 titles. And my contact, Ron Lewinsky, that I talk to almost every day, he had said that one time. He said, I can't tell you. I said, I want to know. He's really? Well, yeah. If it leaks, it wasn't me. I didn't know. You know, as a test operator, I've learned through the years, some things happen, some things don't. I wait until it's on the floor, then I get excited. Any more? Anyway, yes, sir. Do you have a question? You. Well, you moved. Pardon? Touch up. Oh, on mine. Bill Davis. Yep. Good. And it was an amazing job. I mean, I had some of the shield wore off, some of the laying and back stuff. He did a beautiful job. Put it all together. First guy I played it, put a ball right over the castle. Well, and people don't understand this, too. Like when they talk about maybe put a game or two on a location, what goes on? You know, like I saw Terminator 2 a few years ago at my place, guy brought into the event. He had all the different little spaceships and everything around. It'd be the first thing I'd take off. You know, commercial use, that stuff would be pounded to oblivion in no time. I had one of the early Lord of the Rings, had all the weapons on. You know, within a month, all the weapons were broke off, some of the heads were broke off, the horses broke off. And them balls get all over. My favorite, Pirates, you got that big sneeze guard? And it kind of looks shitty. So I'm shopping at one time, and I've got that thing up to the light, and there's not one scratch on it. I'm thinking, balls ain't getting up here. I'm going to leave it off. It'll look better. Within 2 days, both sails were broke off. Well, give Neil a mug. Ran. Wait. Can we get it? We got a new guy. Yes, sir.
So just more of a question about laser discs. I have a couple of laser discs, and they're pretty warped. I try to put them in, and they just don't read. What would be the best way to straighten them?
I don't know if they can be. I mean, there's got to be, somewhere out in the world, there's got to be a Laserdisc news group. I mean, there was a lot of movies made, and besides the games, there's got to be a group out there somewhere that might have something you can try. I don't know the success of it, though. Really? Want to give him a mug, even though we couldn't answer him? Hey, I got one of the special prizes for you.
I don't want enough money to bring anymore.
Oh, nice.
Anybody ever watch The Sons of Anarchy when they cut that guy's fingers off? He's laughing at him. Yeah, the guy wearing these colors is going to do the same to you. And happy that night when they got that guy. Want a finger? I got three more. So we got fingers today. Last year was the 3D glasses for the first 3D ever seminar at Expo. This year we got fingers.
I still have a whole box of those things.
Well, you take everything. When we had beer left over, you got it. We had three. Well, also, we didn't know we were going to have a 20-minute seminar last year either. But yeah, I think we're going to probably run out of time before we run out of prizes. Then we're going to sell what's left. Oh, just a second. Yes, sir.
What kind of would you like to see be involved for a remake? What would be your personal choice?
Boy, that's, you know, depending what, you know, for fun, I'd really like to see a Get Fuzzy pin. You know, for if we're going to get, you know, really hardcore, I'd love to see a Sons of Anarchy pin, because we're going to see prequels, we're going to see sequels, we're going to see movies. See, my pinball tech vest. You can't go out on location without looking cool. Can I give him a mug? Any other questions besides Randy? Yes, sir. Oh, they knocked it out of the park. Tech support has been tiny. Probably the majority of my calls have been maybe a loose connector, or they can't find a back box key. I mean, early on they had a few little things, but I mean, you got two coats of clear. The shaker motor is well integrated with it. We got the color DMD, which they've got one out there with about 90% of the programming done. We got that. You got stereo instead of mono. They really knocked that out of the park. Not to mention it's 19 years newer than mine, my original one. Want to give him a mug? We got to see how many questions we got left. Oh, we got a few questions. The gentleman back there with a hand up. Randy.
So anyways, I had a Pinball 2000 episode. Star Wars episode 1. Had a nice Takata beer sign up there. Kept a Waffle Show eye on my beer. And selling a pinball machine, and I lifted that sign right up into a ceiling fan. And whenever, what was the worst oops moment you've ever had for working on or doing something with pinballs?
Mine or other people's? Yeah, I don't know that I've really had a spectacular moment. Usually about 3 in the morning I quit, because that's when the tool toss starts. Well, you get to a point where you just do more damage than good. I think the all-time favorite, the one year I worked at Vance Carter, there was a strip club or something, a bar had closed down, and we had to go get a Fisher pool table out of there, and they got the real severe sides. And we didn't have the pool table cart because our guys were always loaning out the equipment to operators. So we go out there with a big truck, and I got one of the gangster's nephews with me. And we got this thing on dollies. We're bringing it out the back door, and it fell off the cart. And this was a 9-foot Fisher table. We couldn't lift the damn thing. And while we could lift it, we couldn't get back on a cart because it was a low door. And Jay's sitting there thinking, oh, yeah, we're not supposed to mention names. This gentleman that was helping me. He runs across the street to a gas station. He borrows one of these car jacks, and all of a sudden, tick, 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 tick. We're jacking it up to get the dolly back under it. And this is like a brick building, and we shoved, if you went outside and looked, above the doorway, we had this whole section of brick shoved up about 3 feet. Another fun one, we had to go pull an ice cream machine out of Talmud Torah. And this machine went in there before the building was built. When we go to take it out of there, there was no way to get it out of there. So it's like winter. It's like 20 below out in Minnesota. And we disassembled the frame and everything and two doors and got it out the back door. We had another fun one, too. There was the YMCA building. They had a jukebox upstairs. And we had to bring it down the stairs. I had this Gyuro Eloni, another name I shouldn't mention. He was from Israel. He's helping me. And we're bringing this down 2 flights of stairs, kind of like one at a time, real gentle. It's a jukebox. We want to take care of it, even though we tied it down and stuff. Some beautiful girl walks by. He stops, talks to her, and leaves me there. I'm on the bottom. Okay, I can't hold this thing. I'm not going to die. It's not my jukebox. I just stand back and let it go down the stairs. And there was double glass doors. And I'm thinking, oh, God, I hope they're both unlocked. They were. They hit the doors, opened it, flew across the sidewalk, went out on LaSalle into traffic. Cars are dodging this thing. I only worked 1 year, and I swore I'd never work again the rest of my life. But I had a lot of fun the year we worked. And, of course, why'd you let it go? Yeah, I should let it run me over, and then it goes out in the street anyway. Oh, this guy was something. We had every year they had the hockey or basketball playoffs, and the girls, the cheerleaders, had rented one whole floor of some building. They had like a ballroom, and every school had like their practice area. And Israel does not have cheerleaders. So we go up there, we deliver the jukebox, set it up, get it all going, we're done. He's walking along, watching these girls doing the splits and jumps and everything. And the guy was just mesmerized. He'd never seen cheerleaders before, especially, you know, like 16, 17-year-old cute ones. We get out in the truck. He didn't say anything for about a half an hour, and finally, can you imagine that on the horizon? Okay. He was also the one, too. We had this, most people that had worked on the at Advance Carter before us didn't take good care of the equipment. Like when the guys that owned Moby Dicks, they'd be out driving the truck, and they'd jam it. They'd be going 60 miles an hour and jam it into first gear and drop the clutch, because if the truck breaks down, they don't have to work. They sit. So we get this truck that don't work. Well, one day we're going along middle of winter, and Gura's all happy. Hey, like power steering. Boom, right into a telephone pole. So then we were delivering a foosball table, and they got like, you know, ceiling like this, and we got to get up there and put a light up for this thing. So we got like a table and another table and another table. Then we had a ladder on top of that. Gura was the one that got sent up there. Hey, you smashed up the truck. You're up there, buddy. I miss working. Working was fun. Did you give him a mug? Where are you going? Sir, the show's not over yet. Well, you're supposed to raise your hand for a potty break. Hey! Who was it? That was a good question. Somebody. Oh, Randy again. I'm sorry, I thought we had a new person.
Well, I got it. I'm going to send the top tech email. Hey, you'll put in this next video. You should see part three.
You can go up there tonight, and every panda is going to have a head cut off. Any more questions of the fun and frugalities of being an operator? Yes, sir. Well, you know, see, over in storage, I had this contribution box thing, and I had the cheese pump on this. I don't know what happened to contribution box thing. It was like a metal base and a metal pole and like the metal box. I mean, I thought it was pretty solid. It wasn't. I went over there, and the cheese pump was in pieces. And not repairable, not working. It had really done a number on it. And, you know, to get an NSF-approved cheese pump, they're real pricey. I just haven't got it right now, or the time to even run one down. Plus, you know, I don't see that Mike Pasek remembered our nachos and Rob Burke didn't bring the trays in. And I mean, there once in a while, the LTG show, it just things happen. Like the year we showed the donut girl, we didn't have a projector, then we didn't have a projector that worked. Then we couldn't get our beer, then they put our beer on the hall. Marco stole our beer, we stole their beer. Their beer was less quality than ours, which is why they took ours. And things don't always go as planned. Any other questions? Yes?
What is the significance of this cheese pump?
Brian Kelly started it with the ball crawl. They used to go to different houses, and his was the second stop. And the cheese pump became a religion in Minnesota. And myself, I'm not a big nacho cheese pump fan. What I do love it on, though, is you get one of the pinball circuits where I'd have the hot dogs and some ketchup and put some cheese on there. And, you know, and last year, my 20-minute seminar, about the only thing that did go right was we ran out of cheese in about 10 minutes. I'll give her a book.
So, those cookies, you remember, like, they used to give you these neat glass things? Is that the this year version of that neat glass thing?
Well, you probably won't see as many as these being thrown in the trash can at the airport anymore. I don't know. I don't know, I got 4 or 5 of them glass things laying around somewhere. No, Garrison Keillor said that, you know, when he goes somewhere to get an award, and, you know, they pay him, and he talks for 10 minutes, and nobody enjoys it, and then goes home, and he gets the airport, and then whatever award he got, the Lucite Trophy, throws it in the trash and flies home. What? Uh-oh, we got to get going. Any other questions? Yes, sir?
Any leaks playing out here?
Todd Anderson many years ago ran some leagues, and I took over the one Jason Roofer had done, but they always die a slow death, and usually the first 80-degree Saturday you hit in April, that's it. And then the only thing I was doing was the pinball circus this spring and fall, and now the fall one I did cancel. As of the two Mondays before, I had no games coming in for it. A lot of people bringing guest games. And the fall before, attendance had dropped off of both fall ones. But the fall before, I had 17 games coming in. This one, I had no games coming in. And I quick do the math on this. You know, it cost me about $800 to $1,000 to run the circus. I'm thinking, oh, there's $500 on this one. You know, it's time to change it or something. Want to give him a mug? Any more questions? Comments? Prizes? Anything?
Thank you for the beer.
Thank Martin Ive for the beer. I really appreciate you coming tonight. I hope we're all parting as friends. God bless you. I'll see you next year. And hopefully by next year we might actually have, you know, accomplished a few things like the cheese pumping things. Thank you.
Thanks, Lauren.